RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
So, to emerging evidence that the UK Met Office is investigating temperature data from over 100 non-existent, I'll say that again, non-existent weather stations, 103 stations out of 302 sites supplying temperature averages do not exist. And this has come to light for us anyway, caught our attention by a piece we have seen in the Daily Skeptic, written by Chris Morrison, journalist at The Skeptic, who joins us now. Hi, Chris. Thanks for coming or beaming in all the way from the UK to talk about this.
Hi there, Paul. My pleasure.
Okay. Really? Really? Non-existent weather stations?
It's a bit late here, but I haven't gone to bed yet.
So, okay. It sort of blows me away that these weather stations are actually non-existent. What the hell?
Yes, it blows us all away. What they're doing is that they're about, this was a freedom of information request. This was actually a story I was reporting on another, if you like, or a citizen journalist called Ray Sanders, who's been looking at this in great detail. He goes around to the weather stations and checks if they exist. I mean, all this sort of thing, you know, really good journalism.
Yeah.
And he didn't have Freedom of Information Act. And the Met Office collate 30-year average temperature data figures. This is for monthly and an annual and this sort of thing. And he asked them for the sites that were doing rolling averages over 30 years. And there are 302 of them. And he found that 103 of them don't exist, or they did exist, but they shut up shop. But they're still producing rolling averages. And what they're doing, of course, is they're estimating them. They're estimating them using computer models and data from other sites and this sort of thing. He found, for instance, that they also seem to be using, it's very odd, they seem to be using a certain amount of data from sites that they don't, that are not part of their main collecting process. For instance, at Dover, the Dover site has closed. But if you look at the coordinates that they give when they produce the 30-year rolling averages, it's called Dover Beach. And it is literally on Google Earth. It is literally by the shoreline.
Yeah, I saw the picture. And does the tide come in?
Yeah, well, is it? I'm not sure that any scientific organization would put a measuring station, a Stevenson's box, right by the tide, where it would be submerged twice a day. There's another one in Folkestone that's closed, I think is said to be at the Folkestone Ski Centre. And another one at Dungeness, because Mr. Sanders lives in Kent, he's been to these places, is in the middle of the Dungeness power station. Now, you know, if they're doing 30-year averages, one assuming that they're collecting data, you know, every day at certain times, it's been scientifically done. No, they're just estimating it. They have no scientific credibility at all. And of course, this would not really matter if they were, you know, a lot of this temperature data first started collecting the Met Office. They first started collecting it 150 years ago. You want a nice idea of local weather. You know, farmers when to grow their seeds or when to plant their seeds, whether you need to have a coat. They don't need to be that accurate. And what has happened is that, and this takes us on to a wider point about their wider measuring system, is that they are now a highly political organization. They're 100% in on this net zero scam. And they talk of nothing else, almost, it seems, a lot of their political spokesmen about how we're, you know, going to hell in a handcart, the world is global, the globe is boiling. They measure temperatures down to a hundredth of a degree. Mm. They told us, for instance, that 2023 was 0.6 centigrade cooler than the record year before. But if you look, we did a Freedom of Information Act. If you look at their 383 sites that they use for this data, you will find, let me just explain, they're rated by the World Meteorological Organization, which the Met Office in the UK is a major part. They're rated by Class 1 and Class 5 as to how reliable they are. Class 1 and Class 2 come with uncertainties of zero centigrade. They're in pristine areas. They're right in the middle of fields. They're not going to be corrupted by anything. Classes 4 and 5 come with uncertainties. Class 4 of 2 centigrade. plus 5 of five centigrade. And these uncertainties arise usually heat corruptions. They're next to airports, they're in car parks, they're next to air conditioning units, they're by electricity substations, they're in solar farms, they're in people's back gardens next to barbecues, all this sort of stuff.
Next to barbecues.
They're rated as class 4 junk. I call them class 5 super junk. Now, guess how many of their stations, what percentage of their stations are in class 4 and class 5?
Let's hear it.
I'll tell you, it's 80%.
80?
Or 77%, I think. So 70% of their records have uncertainties prescribed by the international standards of between 2 and 5 centigrade, but they're giving us temperature data down to 0.01. And they're using it for political purposes. They're using it to persuade us that the world is getting much, much warmer, which indeed it is getting a little bit warmer, but it's getting much, much warmer than perhaps it possibly is.
And trying to show an accelerating,
yes, yep.
You know.
Well, we come on to the next little stuff they get up to, because it seems to be they're not satisfied with just using a data that is slewed to urban environments, higher temperatures, particularly as urbanization increases in our country as well as yours and many areas around the world. They're not just content with that; they also retrospectively adjust the figures. So what they do with the UK figures, they get all these measurements together, and the Met Office has a thing called HADCROP, which is a global temperature data set. And so they take the temperatures in from all over the world, from the US, from all the places, New Zealand, Australia, where you have these records, and they then give us this global temperature, the 1.5 or the 1.1 or whatever they're sort of using. They tell us the world has warmed by 1.1 centigrade in the last 100 years or so. In fact, it's probably going back to 200 years, but leave that aside. So what they do then is that they retrospectively adjust it. And so the Met Office, there was a pause, for instance, in the temperature from 1998 to 2012, generally worldwide. You still see it in the satellite, the accurate satellite data. The Met Office actually wrote a book called The Pause, and they tried to explain it away, and it doesn't exist anymore in the HADCROP. You go to the HADCROP, they've added 30% extra warming to the recent record, and the pause is no more. And what they do, and I'm sure they have genuine scientific reasons for doing it, I'm sure, it's all above board and everything, I'm sure it is. The Met Office, unfortunately, don't return my calls, so I'm not able to discuss it with them for some reason. But they also cool the periods before that. So you see this much sharper spike in temperatures that we had in the last few years. And this is used for political purposes to promote the net zero fantasy.
Well, it's interesting, Chris, because here, just over a year ago, we had a bad cyclone and it caused a lot of flooding and 8 people lost their lives, including a little kid, in the floods, and the warnings weren't there. And of course, people were looking around for some kind of accountability as to why this wasn't normally forecast, and people could get out of the way and lives would have been saved. Turns out, because we've got 2 government weather agencies, turns out that in the time after the cyclone, a lot was being said that this is an extreme weather event. It's come about through climate change, warming, and they gave some data. And again, a journalist went into it, looked back at all the old newspapers where there are weather and shipping reports, because they used to do that, and found that there had been far bigger events going back over 100 or so years, and that they had conveniently started their data at 1979, okay? So the reason I'm making or informing you of that, because it seems like that's the same kind of pattern. There's a certain deception going on, which is alarming, isn't it?
This is extremely alarming. You can't. I don't think you can trust a word they say. And this is sadly so, because they should be a highly regarded scientific organization. I mean, the Met Office, for instance, does actually a very good job in forecasting, say, weather over 3, 4, 5 years, 5 weeks. 5 days. They have satellites in the sky. They understand it much more. They do a reasonable job, but they get it wrong sometimes. But particularly where we are in the UK, next to the North Atlantic, you're bound to get not be 100% accurate. But when they come to this compiling of data, you have to ask a lot of questions about what they're doing. And of course, it is all to promote the net zero, as I say. What we see with the extreme weather, there's this idea that extreme weather generally Well, there are two things I would say to that. First of all, if you look at the historical data, there's no evidence really that these extreme or bad weather events, they've always been with us. There's no great evidence that they're actually increasing. And not only that, the thing that is I think is something that I don't quite know why they say it when, for instance, the IPCC, their own UN authoritative body, it's a biased body, the IPCC, don't get me wrong, but the IPCC says quite explicitly in their sixth assessment report, the latest one, there is no evidence of human involvement in a whole range of extreme bad weathers, flooding, precipitation, drought, wildfires, all of these are, there's no sign that humans are causing them to get worse. And not only that, they say there's no sign that up to 2000 to 2100 humans will make it get worse. The fact is that we are actually in a fairly benign climate. We've always had bad weather, we've always had terrible catastrophes, but the number of people who get killed by bad weather, natural disasters, has fallen by 98% in the last 100 years. And that's because we can take better precautions. We're wealthier. We use hydrocarbons, to build ourselves dams and the things that protect us. I think that you have to be really, really careful, as I say, when you read any of this, you're being spun a line in order to scare you into net zero. As I say, the climate is benign. The level of CO2 is rising from a period of 200 years ago, where it was at dangerously low levels. It was up down to 280 parts per million. If it goes down to about 180, 150, the plants will die. All life on Earth will eventually die. So we've had a little bit of increased
That's
carbon
the net
dioxide,
zero
mainly
bit,
due to
Chris.
natural
That's the
warming.
net zero bit.
Yeah,
Everything
yeah, yeah,
dies, right?
yeah. Well, when people say they want to, they call people like you and me climate deniers, I point out that you're the people who deny the climate. The climate has always changed, and you're the people who think like the IPCC does, more or less says it, that we can control the climate thermostat because they say it's all due to humans driving cars and eating meat and all this sort of stuff. Well, I would say to them, well, okay, if you're so all powerful and you can stop the climate, what proportion of greenhouse gases would you like in the atmosphere? Carbon dioxide, is it 400, 450? What temperature would you like the world to be? It's about 58, 59 Fahrenheit at the moment. Would you like it to go up to 70 because it's been as
Just
high as that in
dial
the
it
past?
in,
Would you
dial it
like it to
in.
go down to 48? It's been as cold as that in the past. What
Yep.
temperature would you like?
Okay, so you can't trust the data. Obviously, the those running the Met Office in the UK. And they have a proud history to uphold and maintain. I would have thought you'd described that. It's been going for a long time. They are obviously aware of this. I wonder what the forecasters think. Has there been any political reaction? I see that the minister responsible for the Met Office has yet to respond, okay, to Mr. Sanders' allegations. That's Peter Kyle. But this
Yeah.
shoots everything down, doesn't it? And what sort of coverage has there been, Chris? Is there a growing awareness that people are being taken essentially for a ride, it sounds like?
There has been no coverage because mainstream media will not cover this for a very good reason. They have been full in on the settled science, the net zero fantasy. They've been full in on humans, of course, in this problem. They've been full in on it for 20, 25, 30 years. They've been trying to scare us. They can't really, and they've been using the Met Office data in order to scare us. I mean, it would be very odd if they went back and suddenly said, oh, the data is, well, they might just need a little bit of investigating. So they are religiously avoiding it. They are turning a Nelsonian eye to the whole thing. The Met Office used to talk to me a few times. They simply refused to return my calls. They refused to return calls, I think, of anybody who is at all skeptical. The arrogance is off the scale, quite frankly. We did around Christmas last year, we did a story about the Met. It was a separate subject. It was a paper that someone at the Met had written. Professor Richard Betts, the head of climate impacts, he was trying to produce this new database that would rely mostly on future model temperatures in order to persuade the world that we were heading for 1.5 centigrade, a complete nonsense as far as we could see. And of course, he didn't reply to the article that listed why this was, not a very good idea, scientifically a bit odd. And he tweeted about 3 weeks later and said that, why did they take 3 weeks to review our paper? They said, did the lads at Daily Skeptic have to work out what a temperature was? Well, I can assure Professor Betts that I perfectly know what a
Yeah.
temperature is, but I sometimes wonder if some of the people at the Met Office know what a temperature is, or at least how to record the thing and present it properly. So, no, there has been the mainstream media are not going to touch it. We have, I don't know about your parliament, but since the election of the oncoming the new Labour government, we have about 630 nodding donkeys in our parliament who nodded through, well, not necessarily the ones there now, but a lot of them, previous ones, nodded through net zero in 2019 with a 20-minute debate. Most of them are fully on side. The Conservative government is fully on side. Buffo Boris was a complete net zero fanatic. So they're not going to say anything. The nodding donkeys in parliament, I mean, they're not going to say anything. The Met Office is secure. It's secure knowing that it has the back of the mainstream political and mainstream media. So, in answer to your question, no. But look on social media, and the place is alive with it.
Yeah.
Look on, for instance, the great Paul Homewood, another citizen journalist here in the UK, with his Not All People Know That site. He's been going on about this for years. He's been on for years about what the Met Office has been up to. What's up with that? The scientific blog in the States with Anthony Watts, who's done similar work, incidentally, in the US. 30% of NOAA, which is the US Weather Service, they are using fabricated data. He's they write about it. Everybody knows about it, but nobody in the mainstream media will talk about it, because to talk about it, I think, starts to pick away at their net zero fantasies.
So it sounds really, if you want to use a word or a word that comes to mind for me, this is just a scam, isn't it?
Well, scam is a hard word. I think that, as I say, the Met Office does a great deal of good scientific work, always has
Okay,
done.
in the net
I think.
zero area then, that's the scam part of it, okay?
Well, I'm trying to sort of, almost play devil's advocate for the Met Office here, but
Yeah,
it is a
sure.
bit difficult, I must admit, because they are fabricating data. They're inventing data. We know that. And they're using it for political purposes. They no doubt have a very good scientific reason. I mean, I think in science, you sometimes do, homogenize data and make reasonable estimates and this sort of thing. So I'm trying to sort of present the best I can. But the evidence we have of the corrupted weather sites that they, let me tell you about the corrupted weather sites. You'd think that, well, okay, urbanization has crept up on them. But in fact, 9 out of 10 of 113 stations, if I remember it right, that they've set up in the last 30 years are also in class four and class five.
Yeah.
8 out of 13 they set up in just the last 5 years, they put in class four and class five sites. So however much you want to be sort of, trying to sort of put the best face forward on the Met, they don't really help themselves, because for God's sake, what are you doing starting up sites that are in super junk locations? Why are you doing it? And far from closing them down, you're opening them up.
Unless you want to record what look like warmer temperatures to
Well,
suit.
the cynical might come to that conclusion.
Probably
Of course.
would always come to that conclusion. Okay,
Yes.
so what reaction have you had to your story about this in the Daily Skeptic?
Well, I wrote the story in The Daily Skeptic. So on the blog, it's
Yeah,
up.
but what
Yes, there you go.
reaction to the story has there been? Because if mainstream's not covering it, people find other ways. I'm just wondering how far and wide your story's gone.
No, it's gone viral on social media.
Yeah.
The editor in chief of The Daily Skeptic is a very well known journalist here in the UK, Toby Young,
Yep.
who I think has started up the Free Speech Union,
Yes, yeah, he was out here, I think, recently. Yeah.
there's now a branch, I think, in New Zealand and Australia. So Toby, he has got a big social media following. He tweeted it. It got 10,000 retweets. I think it might be more
Oh,
now.
gosh, yeah.
It got a lot of exposure on social media. So it's all over social media. I mean, it's not, but a lot of things are all over social media that don't make it into the mainstream press. The fact that Trump was you're almost certain to win was hidden to a certain extent with in the mainstream media. The fact that he was in collusion with the Russians was a step bang on certainty in the mainstream media, but social media commentators took a slightly a different view. Lots of things are in the mainstream media or lots of things are in social media that don't go anywhere near mainstream media. Indeed, they look at articles like this, people like me, people like yourself, and they set up all these fact checks. The BBC Verify Vilify organization, as I call it. Associated Press, the French press agency, Reuters, they've all been fact-checking Daily Skeptic articles. They fact-check everybody else who has a different criteria. They never seem to actually point to any facts that are wrong, because we do try as a journalist to keep, you know, of reasonable course. Standards, high standards. We source our material. Everything we say is usually has some sort of link or source. So what they do is they fact-check our opinions. We simply don't agree with what you're saying. So yes, there is the Met Office. I know this from sort of, you know, contacts. They've been stung by this publicity. Right. As I say, Noah has gone through it previously. Anthony Watts has done some fantastic work in showing the sheer corruption of the heat corruption. There have been scientists such as the chaps down at the University of Alabama in Huntsville who run the scientific record, the satellite temperature record, which is much more accurate. They've done a lot of work on the urban heat island effect, where they show that the urban heat corruptions are probably adding between 20 and 50% to the actual warming that we see in these surface temperature data sets. But as I say, the mainstream media is keeping absolutely stum. Peter Carr MP is a new incoming Labour government, according to Mr. Sanders. He hasn't bothered to reply. And they won't. They won't until, I guess, they have to, until there is even more of a storm about what they're doing. And they're required to come to the court of public opinion. These people, the Met Office is given £100 million at least. At least they got a huge, great, wonderful new campus down at Exeter. You know, where no doubt the press office that doesn't return press calls they don't like resides. They will at some point will need, I think, to come to the court of public opinion and explain the way that they do collate these figures, which they use for degrees of accuracy of 100 degrees centigrade in order to promote the net zero agenda.
What a story. Chris Morrison, who is the environment editor of UK outlet The Daily Skeptic, former financial journalist and publisher. Thanks for coming on, Chris, and telling us about that. It's just when you think it's getting crazy, it gets crazier. It's kind of how I'm feeling right now.
It is crazy. It's a very good story if you're a journalist, but it is almost unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, I do find I'm writing this stuff and thinking, you know, surely it can't be true, but. It does appear to be so, but anyway. But I'm being generous, as I was trying to in the interview. We await the Met Office's measured response, and then we can. You know, I would happily. I've always said I would happily come on any radio, TV show. I'd happily talk to Professor Betts himself. You know, if I'm at all wrong in what we're writing or what other people are wrong, let us know. You know, we're not out to mislead the public. We're out to sort of try to inform them. So I'm perfectly happy to discuss this with any spokesman the Met Office put up. But as I say, the Met Office won't even return my call.
And for those who want to see the story, dailyskeptic.org, search for Science Shock. UK Met Services inventing temperature data from 100 non-existent stations. And Chris Morrison, thank you for coming on our radio station and telling us about that. It's really handy to know.
Thanks, Paul. All the best.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.